This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Just as the clock struck midnight at the end of November 3rd, I ran a three-hour program to continue to monitor the election results, and with that I had a special guest, close friend of mine and combat veteran from Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry, Chuck Prodnick. Chuck has saved my life in Afghanistan in a firefight. He's also a staunch Canadian Trump supporter with a really good understanding of the political lay of the land. And so on this night we had some great discussions, especially considering all that has transpired of what the election was looking like and where it was going. Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson. I am the director and producer of the war documentary, Bards of War, Fighting is Everything. And you are listening to episode 147, live stream, Midnight Rider, part 1. If you always thought the doom and gloom crowd was ridiculous, you're probably not laughing now. But we're not here to say we told you so. We're here to help you. Your biggest problem is food. With so much chaos nationwide, how will you get enough food if chaos breaks out in the weeks and months ahead? The grocery stores can't keep up. That's why those who act now and get at least 4 weeks' supply of emergency food shipped to them fast will be the ones who are secure. I strongly recommend My Patriot Supply, the only source I personally use and trust for my emergency food preparedness plan. You can too. They're the go-to experts in emergency preparedness. Their mission is your survival. And right now, you can save $100 off a full 4 weeks' supply of their nutritious meals that supply 2,000 calories a day. This will save your life in times of crisis if food disappears from the grocery store shelves. And saving $100 is impossible to pass up. So go to preparewithbardsofwar.com and get ready today. That's preparewithbardsofwar.com or click on the link below. There's no time to lose.
Man, is this an exciting night. Holy cow. We know that the media is manipulating the numbers. We know that they're holding back on the truth. And we are literally winning, winning, winning. How much more can we say? Our guest tonight's going to be a little bit late, so we're just going to start in and start jamming on some great stuff. But let's begin with a prayer. This is an epic moment, so please join me in a prayer of thanks. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and thank you for this time in which we live. It is truly epic. We are able to come together with you, with our love for one another, our respect, our unity, our strength. We're recouping, we're rekindling that fire that makes us such a powerful nation. That gives us pride in believing and worshiping God, a pride that shows us that above all things, you will always deliver, that this is truly a free country, a country built on liberty. Lord, we are so blessed to be living in this day. Of all the times of history that we could live, not a greater moment has existed than now, when we, as the American patriots and patriots around the world, unite to break through the cabal's control that has kept us in a virtual enslavement for thousands of years, and now we're breaking free. This is our exodus, Lord, an exodus of a modern time where we are literally witnessing great events, as in the stories of the Bible, and we're seeing us now having a choice to step free and to free ourselves from all that's around us, to live free, to live in liberty as our founding fathers intended and with the gifts that you've given us. So, Lord, as we enter this evening for a midnight show to celebrate the greatness of our president, the greatness of our time, the history and glory of our founding fathers, and the greatness of the patriots, please guide us, bless us, open our hearts, bring as many as we can to this assembly so that we can join together in our love for you, our love for our nation, our love for our families, and our love for our president, and our love for our general, General Flynn. We say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Patriots, this is truly, truly a blessed time. And we are so excited. All of us should be. We know the media is lying. I wanted, for those of you that have not heard it tonight, I know that we talked about it a bit earlier, but I want to make sure that everybody's aware of what General Flynn put out. It's now been an hour ago. And really amazingly, thanks to a Patriot on the chat here in Podbean, we were able to announce this like 3 minutes after General Flynn tweeted it. But here's what he said. He said, steady, digital soldiers, steady. Success breeds success. Mainstream media has done another disservice. So trust your own research and each other. We will achieve another major victory for American greatness. And he ends it with a flexed arm, prayer hands, and an American flag. He is our general, and he is guiding us through this in the most amazing way. So I'm so blessed. And for those of you that were on the first 3 hours, you'll know that General Flynn called in here through. I was talking to Joe Flynn, family spokesman, his brother, obviously, amazing patriot who's become a dear friend of mine and just an amazing man. And Joe called General Flynn, and General Flynn came in on the show. So just so you know, that's available. It will be available after the show later tonight. Probably won't get it up till about 4 a.m, but that's okay. It'll be available tomorrow for download. You can hear it. Truly epic. And I will be honest with you. Very few times do I get a little nervous on a show, okay? I mean, I'm comfortable. But holy cow, when you have General Flynn call you, I literally sat up in my chair like I was going to attention with a general and I was in uniform. I love that, man. I love that family. And if it hadn't been for all that they, excuse me, all that they've done for us, I don't know where we'd be, quite frankly. So here we are. We have absolutely fought together, all of us, and we are going to continue that fight. I think that's the most important thing to remember here, is that we have to keep in mind that this is not going to be easy, all right? And we know that, and not that I need to remind everybody, but this is going to be a hard fight. And the left isn't going to let go because the left has lost. We know that. They know that. They don't want to admit it. They're in the media establishment has now completely ruined what was left of its little reputation, which is, quite frankly, minimal. And they've gone out on the limb even to try to distort the election results. I mean, this is sick when you really get down to it. It's a sickness of hatred for this nation. It's a sickness of hatred for the American patriot. And we are showing the massive oligarchs of the world to go pound sand. We are literally standing up and taking our country back, and we're not accepting anything other than total 100% victory. Now, just keep in mind, too, that we look at the map and we're seeing some states go blue. Sadly, I mean, we're not really going to know the truth for some time. My personal opinion, and I've expressed this on Twitter immensely. I may lose the bet, by the way, and that's okay. I bet Joe Flynn a bottle of his favorite bottle of whatever he drinks that if we didn't get all 50, I'll tell you what, as long as President Trump wins, that's the best bet I'll ever lose. And I'll tell you that right now, but that's okay. But I still think that at the core of everything that we are as a nation, the truth of it would be a true 50 state sweep. The problem is that when you have a number of things in play, it's going to make it very, very difficult for that accuracy to come out. So just the voting system itself, we know that there's a tremendous amount of corruption, that the left is doing every single thing it can to twist and turn the vote. We know that there's been poll observers pushed away today. We've seen numerous ballots being thrown away, discarded, whatever. Even in tonight, it was announced that in Georgia, they had to stop the counting because here it comes. What a coincidence. A water line broke in their counting building. Nothing happens right now by accident. I mean, this is truly evil at work, and I'll just put it like that. I mean, whatever level you want to take that at, we're truly seeing evil unlatched and ripped away from us, and it's fighting back, but it's going to lose, and that is the biggest thing. But voter fraud is absolutely top of the concern for all of us, and yet we're still going to prevail. So when you start looking at the maps and you see that, for example, West Coast polls closed at 8 o'clock, and at 6 o'clock, they're already calling California, Oregon, and Washington. Oregon does mail-in voting. Washington does poll voting. And California does, I don't know what it does. But how can you possibly call that, right? There's reports already that President Trump was leading by 2 million votes in California for the popular vote. So you can start to see this nonsense that they're spinning because they're absolutely petrified of what's happening. And it's happening because of all of us. It's happening because all of us have stood together. We have fought together with this information fight. We have stayed strong in our faith. And we have diligently and vigilantly fought this war without any resistance, without any hesitation. You know, I've said this many times, and I really want to think, and I say this because over the time, my account's gotten big. It's not something I pushed. It's just happened. And I'm grateful for every single one of you. But I'm grateful in another way. And I want to just make sure that everybody understands that I don't care if your account is 10 people or if your account is 10,000 people or 200,000 people. Every single person in this fight counts. When we saw that big purge go down with a lot of big accounts, the one thing that I was absolutely energized and so impressed with is how much the small accounts stepped up and fought like crazy. I mean, it was a flurry. And it is so amazing to see, that sort of dedication. You know, when you hear big accounts doing their stuff and that's cool. I mean, I have nothing. I dedicate my life to this, and so does everybody else, but in different ways. But when you hear of people like working a full day and then they come back and they spend 3 or 4 hours every single night or 3 or 4 hours every single morning, and you look at their accounts and they have maybe 300 or 400 people on Twitter, for example, and yet they're still there. They never stop. I mean, that's the sort of energy that is the American spirit of a patriot. You just fight, fight, fight. And like I've said many times, it doesn't matter if you get no retweets or something on your account, that doesn't mean people aren't looking at it. Twitter does an amazing job of screwing with numbers, and we know that. It's the idea that you're there. And then when we look at the next level of this, so keeping in mind, I really entered this fight aggressively in 2015. That's when President Trump came down the escalator. I made some really hard business decisions to put all my effort into the campaign, literally put all my money into it to fight for President Trump, because at this point, I realized then that if he didn't win, it didn't matter what business you had, how much money you were making. If you didn't absolutely support that man for president, we were going off a cliff that would never, ever come back on, right? So where we are today versus where we were then, there was a lot of theory around the guys that I was working with. And one of these guys, whenever he gets in, oh, he's back. So it looks like he's going to be here in just a few minutes. But one of these people you're going to meet tonight, his name is Chuck Prodnick. Now, he's Canadian, but I'm going to tell you that very, very importantly, he was so huge to help us because he was an outsider looking into the States, and he was like an intel guy for us and constantly looking for things in 2016, emerging trends, emerging threats, really helped us put together a really good perspective of what was going on. But what's really important to appreciate is how far developed the digital army is. So we theorized on this idea of creating swarm attacks, for example, like how could you rally patriots to rush in and attack an account with hundreds of memes or comments. And it was really difficult to motivate people to do that. And that's not an insult. It's just where we were at that time of a mindset of how to use social media, how to use the tools. Holy cow. When we get into today and you go down and you read blue check threads or you read any of these comments that are on really anything, go far outside of Twitter and see what's happening. Check Gateway Pundit, Breitbart, check any sort of mainstream media outlet. And what do you find? You find patriots that have absolutely hammered those accounts. And I don't mean in a small way. I mean, it's like hundreds and hundreds. When we go up and we see now like some liberal blue check account puts up a survey to try to prove that President Trump is going to lose. And then all of a sudden it gets announced and you're like, hey, everybody, let's go vote on this. There's a great one the other day. It had about, when I put it up on my account and then few others put it up on theirs right away, it had President Trump was running behind by about 30% in the poll, and it had about 100,000 votes on it, which probably tells you that most of those votes were bots, right? Patriots hit that, and within about 3 hours, it adjusted correctly, and then President Trump was ahead by about 40%. I mean, that's the real perspective here, right? And we still have a lot of people right now that are going to be stuck in the matrix and not being able to think clearly. And we're going to have to work with them, because that is going to be a very, very difficult period for them to awaken. Patriots, give me just 1 second here. I'm going to see if Chuck is ready. I'm going to just text him real quickly here. He's a true patriot, and he's a Trump lover, and he's a combat veteran. And I'm going to tell you that Chuck saved my life in Afghanistan. We're going to get into that story today. He's also in the film. So here he is right now. Can you hear me, Chuck?
Yeah, I can hear you, sir.
All right. So I want you to, ladies and gentlemen, patriots, this is Chuck Prodnick. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to embarrass him. So hang on, Chuck. Chuck is a hardcore fighter. He is truly one of the best infantry guys I've ever worked with, bar none. Chuck was a member of Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry and ACOI. I had the amazing opportunity of spending, when I was an embedded journalist, I was timed with them. We're going to talk about some of that tonight. And where Chuck and I really bonded was in Sangin, and this is in the film, when we were caught pretty aggressively in an ambush, wouldn't you say, Chuck?
Yeah, it was, as far as ambushes go, it was pretty aggressive. I don't think they wanted us in their town, and I guess we had a dispute about that for sure.
Yeah, there was definitely a disagreement about having us there. And so as we're slipping along this kind of very narrow place, there's a dried riverbed creek down to my right. It's kind of a steep hill as we're going along, and Chuck was down in the valley. We'll get into all this a little bit later, but there was a Taliban that Chuck's guys had put down, and he, as you probably have heard, Taliban use a lot of drugs, heroin and opium and pot, hash actually, and they use it and they call it medicine, and they use it so they can be very resilient. And he fell, but he got right back up, and he got back up. His first target was me, and the next thing I heard was a few shots, and Chuck said a few very choice words, and the Taliban fell, and I'm alive, and I'm grateful, always grateful, Chuck, and you know that.
Well, I appreciate it, and right place, right time, and I just happened to be pretty quick on the trigger, and they don't shoot so well anyway.
No, they don't. They don't. Chuck, let's tell everybody just a little bit about yourself so they kind of get to know you. Because this is, I don't know if you're not really in chat, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people just saying hello to you, patriots. It's great to have, as I've told them and I've always told you, it's great to have a Canadian patriot that loves America as much as we do. So just tell us a little bit about yourself so everybody get to know you a little bit.
Sure. Hello, everybody out there who's listening. And in a nutshell, I joined up here in Canada when I was about 17. I just graduated high school. Did 21 and retired. 21 years in the Army in the infantry. Retired, and like Scott mentioned, I met him over there on what would have been my third tour in 2006. Met Scott. He stayed with us embedded for about 10 days, and we went through our dirtiest fighting over there at that point. And we were just starting to get good at it, but good enough to be dangerous to ourselves, and learned a lot. And Scott and I just kept in touch over the years. I went back over, on the very next tour I could in 2008, and, had some unfinished business over there. And I think like most of us do that would go over, you don't really feel like you're finished with that place. And Scott and I just kept in touch for the last going on 14 years now, I guess.
That's pretty much, yeah.
Something like that. And I worked for about 10 years after I retired. I followed a whole bunch of other military guys that retired here and went into corrections. I think that happens down in the U.S. quite a bit as well. Yeah. And then I got an opportunity to go work for a buddy of mine who was also over there with Scott and I. And he did quite well for himself, and now I basically work as one part security and one part spiritual advisor to this fella, and every day is an adventure with him, and times are good.
That's awesome. And I'm just reading here just to update it. It looks like I would agree who's ever writing that Oregon is out of their minds. In truth, it sounds like Oregon just legalized heroin, LSD, and psychedelic mushrooms. Isn't that nice? So I'll tell you more crazies. That's all I can say. Chuck, what do you make of what you see going on down here right now? I mean, let's talk first of all, I guess, kind of narrow that down a little bit. What is the importance of President Trump's victory to Canada? I think that's really relevant at this point.
Well, there's two sides of that for Canadians. And I think even though we're probably a bit quieter about our political direction up here, in Canada, it's one way or the other. And there's a huge audience for Trump in Canada, especially here in the West, basically from Saskatchewan through Alberta. We are kind of Texas of the North, is what we get generally compared our attitude to being. We have a lot of oil up here. It's either cattle or oil or some other industry like that in these provinces. So it's we're used to working hard and being left alone. And that's why we like Trump out here. And don't get me wrong, right across the country, you know, people like Trump. People either love him or hate him, no matter where you are. I tend to love him. He may not be a perfect man, but he's a perfect man for the time right now. So he's absolutely needed. For most of us, we see it as if Trump isn't reelected, I see him as like the last bastion for Western society, Western civilization. If he goes, we all go, and barely anybody's holding on right now anywhere else. You can see with our guy Trudeau, things aren't going well for us up here. He's Obama on steroids. I thought he was Obama light, but he's making Obama look kind of moderate at this point.
Yeah, he's pretty crazy. So, he's pretty much turned you guys over to China's hands almost, right?
He admires their basic dictatorship. He said that a few times. He's not even hiding it like Biden. He's pretty upfront about it, which is the scary part. You know, his acolytes are super solid. They love the guy. So it's scary. And he's got a lot of support up here. Our electoral foundation is built a little bit like yours, where, you know, we have dense urban populations like Toronto, Ottawa, out east, there's some big, big cities, and they all tend to go liberal or worse. And out here in the rural areas, we don't have that many seats. So by the time the voting gets out west, it's much like the U.S. The election can be decided well before we ever cast a vote.
Do you guys have the same concern for electoral fraud or I should say election fraud that we do right now?
Not really. No. We have voter ID here in Canada, which baffles me that it's not everywhere down there. Like I know the left down there likes to say, talk about voter suppression or, you know, certain demographics aren't capable of getting a license. Well, how do you rent a vehicle? How do you rent a hotel room? Like at this point, you know, here in Canada, by the time you're 16 and you have a learner's license to drive a car, you have an ID. Everybody has an ID.
You guys have another law, right, about how long people can actually campaign, don't you? Isn't there a restriction on that? Like they can't campaign for all 2 years?
We do. Yeah. So when our campaigning isn't anything like yours. Yours is a life cycle. Ours is by the time the government actually calls an official election, it's a 2-month window. So you can then officially run ads and there's certain campaigning things that are allowed and not allowed if you're not in that 2-month window. Not that people don't bend those rules, but it's not a run up like where you are. It's a 2-month cycle. It's quick, it's dirty, and then it's done. Unfortunately for the U.S., there's a bit of burnout with it, I think. I think Trump peaked at the right time, though. I think that he managed to hit his stride right when he needed to, because I think people are getting a little bit of, even our side of that fight, I think, is starting to get a little bit of burnout from the constant attack on Trump, the constant, it's so over the top. It doesn't faze anybody anymore. It's actually at that point now where you can turn on Fox News. And I had Fox News on in the truck on the way home, and you can't listen to them anymore. The 4 years ago, they were reasonably reliable overall. Now you have maybe one or two on others on there, Bartiromo, a couple others. They're CNN light now. So your news is just, it's a sham. And our news, we have the CBC, they're state funded. So they're just going to say whatever talking points the prime minister wants. And all of our other news up here, they get a bailout every year from the government. So if you're getting your bills paid by the government, you're just going to repeat the talking points. It's even worse up here.
Well, I'm going to give some quick updates here. I'm getting this off of Gateway Pundit, and I tend to trust Jim Hoff a lot. If you guys don't, I don't. Chuck, do you listen to them at all or read?
Yeah, Jim Hoff, I trust.
Yeah, I do. So just some updates, Patriots who are here. Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin will not announce their election results tonight. Jim tags that headline with, they're going for the steal. So let's keep a vigilant on those places. Make sure as we go through this night and the coming days, everybody's digging. Arizona Republican governor is another headline, and GOP leadership says it is too early to call the state after Fox News calls it for Biden. Update, Fox is debating the retraction, so that's a big deal. Twitter flags OANN for calling Florida for Trump after Trump wins Florida by 3.5%. So there's your big tech trying to steal it again. So we're seeing a lot of manipulation. Let me see if they've got a map. I'm looking at, so Breitbart has, Breitbart is one, another one here. It's showing it to be a very close race. The problem that I'm having, and I think everybody here is having, is not just a problem. We know very, very well that you can't call a state like Oregon, California, Washington. They're using all of this on pre-election polls, Patrick, so keep this in mind. They're calling those states blue, and the polls only closed at 8 o'clock. It's an hour and 40 minutes ago. There's no way you can count that fast, right? So,
no.
You're seeing this, Chuck. I mean, what's the conversation going on up in Canada about this insanity?
Well, Virginia, they called Virginia, and Trump, they actually showed the banner, and I think it was Fox. It might have been CNN. I can't remember. I was flicking through when I got home, and they had Trump up at like 53% to Biden's 47%, but they still had Biden checkmarked as winning Virginia. And you're like, how fraudulent do you have to be to still have that up there? Like, you're showing that he has more votes. You're showing the percentage, but you still checkmarked off that he won Virginia. You watched Florida. I think they just declared Florida for Trump. But I mean, come on. There was only 50,000 votes to count. He was up by over 500,000.
Right.
And they wouldn't call it. I mean, this is what they did last time. I remember this 4 years ago. They wouldn't call Florida because they know that's where it starts. They know that once he gets Pennsylvania and Florida called, or that's where it starts. And they look at Pennsylvania now.
Right.
Places they can't watch the count go on. I mean, it's a steal.
They're trying to go for the steal, and it's going to be an ugly steal. I don't know. So Patriots, this has turned out to be a fairly close race. The problem I think that we have, Chuck, and this is where this is all coming down to, and this is where the deep state and their color revolution is playing in, is that nobody's going to believe these results if they say Biden's wins. I mean, the country is not going to accept it. And whether the left, the left can play whatever games it wants, but the Patriots aren't going to stand for this. So this is, again, part of the color revolution. They're thinking that they can swing people's confidence and break their will by showing that the government doesn't work, and we're going to offer you a new system, and it's going to be promises of universal basic income, and we're going to have to we got to fix COVID by mandating a dirty vaccine and putting a mask over your face for the rest of your life and lock your businesses down because we have to protect the world our way. You can't trust anybody else. It's literally a fight between the will of the people and a government that wants to control everything. And you guys are feeling that pretty hard right now, aren't you?
We're feeling the exact same pressures up here. It's we have a small town in Ontario, Aylmer, that is having a basically we're calling them freedom rallies up here, where we're rallying against having to wear a mask. And this town hasn't even held the rally, and the local police force has basically issued a state of emergency in this town of, you know, 20,000 people. And they're being called out for it immediately. They haven't even had the rally. Can you imagine? You know, you're down there, everybody's rioting and, you know, doing that already in Washington from what I can see. And there's no state of emergency. Here, people are talking about walking around without a mask on and, you know, load up the trains. It's that's where we're at in a lot of places. Now, I live in Alberta, and out here, we don't typically put up with that nonsense. And I'm not saying that there aren't people wearing masks, but people here, we do what we want. And nobody here, in the towns that I work in and live in, nobody's wearing masks. A couple people might be wearing them now and again, but people are over this. And, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve 8 months ago, are you kidding me? Yeah. Whose mask are they using?
Like, yeah, really.
This is done.
Well, I think what you just hit on, this is one of the reasons I think we have always gotten along so well, and it's really the province you live in as well, Alberta. I mean, this is, there. You guys are so American patriot in orientation. If the government tells you something, it's like, yeah, whatever, we'll decide whether it's worth it. You have that real frontier spirit. And I mean, frankly, if we needed it, we should have you as a 51st state. That'd work really well. If we kind of roped you in here, because we could use the votes anyway to get rid of more of the liberals. But anyway,
well, we're working on we're working on separating up here. That's where we're at right now with Trudeau. We're looking at a Western separatist party, and it's gaining traction. I mean, 20% of the vote, the provincial vote for premier in Saskatchewan, our neighbor, 20% of them voted for a separatist party, and that went from 0 to 20% in a year. I mean, and in Alberta, it'll be higher. That's where the traction is right now. We're just done being taxed to death and not seeing the benefit to it.
Well, I listen to this. I'm getting this from the Patriots here on the board, and they're telling me that Biden has just said he felt good about winning the election. So the steel's in. They're trying to do it, and this is going to be ugly. I don't even mind saying it. I mean, they're going to think they're going to pull this off, it's going to be a zero-sum game, because it will be Patriots are going to hold the line, and they are not going to accept a Marxist government. It's over for them. And I say that one way or another, it's over. Hopefully we do this through legal and peaceful means, but if they play this game, it ain't going anywhere. We're stopping. And I hope everybody understands that, Patriots. Give me some yeses on the board, because we are not bowing to a Marxist government, period. So, you know, the one great thing about the movement, and you've seen it too, you have seen it too over since 2016, is the evolution of the patriot spirit in America. And I've commented on this before we started and before you got on the show, but just how much change there has been in the size of the Trump campaign and the size of the Trump movement and the esprit de corps to defend this country at any cost. Would you agree?
The thing that I find interesting and refreshing and most hopeful of all of the changes is that it's not one demographic. It's not one segment or one spot. It's right across the board. It's everybody. It's when you watch, you know, you can say what you want about Trump. It doesn't matter. But you look at his supporters, and I mean the born and bred supporters, they're usually happy. They're usually well-spoken, put together. It doesn't matter what their background is. And then you look at the left, and it's nothing but anger and just vitriol the whole time. And how exhausting must that be? I don't know. But you can see it. You could see the groundswell starting out a few months ago. I mean, you could see it the whole 4 years. But the swell about maybe 4 months ago, I don't know. You could really see where people just have had it. And they're done with being called down. And by calling down Trump, you're calling down his supporters. And it's a direct correlation. And that's why Trump says, you know, they're not after me, they're after you. And he's not wrong. So it doesn't matter you know, I know everything down there kind of revolves around a few key moments, like abortion for you guys is a big deal still. Race is still a big deal in the States. It's kind of your every other news cycle has something to do with race. We don't have those issues here in Canada. I'm not saying anything one way or the other about that, but that's not what our elections focus on, or they didn't. Trudeau is trying to make it that way now. He's definitely trying to spin the narrative that way, like Canada some sort of haven for white supremacists. I don't know. I've never run into any, and I've been here for 48 years. But, you know, that's, I don't think anybody ever really associates Canada with a lot of white supremacists, but who knows? I don't know.
If you had a Trump, that's all you'd hear, right? I mean,
that's all we would hear.
Right. I mean, that's the global narrative. Anytime somebody stands up, and before the show started, I played it's this one video you've probably heard a bunch of times. It's about 5 minutes. I just played the audio from it, but it's, they call what will get Trump reelected. Have you seen that one where he talks about the corrupt media? Okay. Well, that whole thing I played at the beginning. Yeah. And I mean, he calls it out as he called it out then, he calls it out now. I mean, the fact of the matter is that there is the media, the tech companies, we are dealing with a corrupt political elite. We are dealing with a corrupt legal elite in this country. And they are all tied in one way or another to drugs and child sex trafficking. There's no question about that anymore. That stuff in 2016, you and I talked about, others talked about, and it was kind of a fringe belief. It was hard to get people to understand it. Today, there's absolutely no question how corrupt this elite is. I mean, it's a sickness. And where we're looking at here is now they are fighting to really steal this election and force feed a global agenda. And I can speak for myself and a lot of other patriots I know, it ain't happening. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. And if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes, you know?
Yeah. I have hope based on everything I've seen down there. It doesn't matter. You watch a Trump rally, it's not just one, again, demographic. It's not one of anything. It is a coming together. It's a movement of everybody. And it's just people who want to be, you know, employed, have a job they don't mind, work a solid week, live in a decent home, look after their kids, not worry about getting, you know, a riot running down their street, and just be left alone. You know, that's what I see. And it isn't like the left offers them anything. The left doesn't offer anybody, and they're literally telling you they're going to take away fracking and oil jobs. They're telling you point blank that it's a matter of we're going to have to tax you harder. They're telling people this, and people are still voting for them. It's baffling.
Well, here let me just read. There's two. Thanks to Patriots on the Board, and thank you very much for alerting. President Trump just tweeted, and he tweeted 5 minutes ago. He said, "I will be making a statement tonight." And then added a big win in capitals with an exclamation point. And then he adds another tweet 2 minutes ago that said, "We are up big, but they are trying to steal the election. We will never let them do it. Votes cannot be cast after the polls are closed." So we know the game. I want to share a little story with Patriots here because, and Chuck, you've heard this story, I believe. When I lived in Philadelphia, as you know, for about 2 years. And in that time, I had an opportunity to work on a campaign, to advise on a campaign would be the best. And I was helping a local Republican run for district attorney for the city. And I couldn't believe the amount of money he was putting forward on this election. And this is a local city election, and he was funding out of his pocket $1 million. Okay, so that's in itself just nuts to me, right? And this is how corrupt Philadelphia is. And I had a ton of meetings, and they had what were called ward leaders, which is how they break down the city in these wards. And here's how the game is played in Philadelphia. So this kind of gives you an idea of how corrupt the system is across the country, our country. So at the ward system, the key piece is that you have to sit down with these ward leaders, and they're going to give you a price. So they're going to say, okay, and this is what they say. They say, "Well, it costs me money to get these ballots printed up, and so it's going to cost you $50,000 or $20,000." Mm-hmm. So there's, I don't know, there's something like 30 some odd wards in Philadelphia, and you've got to pay, you're going to be on the ballot. You have to pay $20,000 or $30,000, $50,000 per ward. And here's the thing. They may not let you on the ballot anyway. They're going to decide after you pay them whether it's somebody they want to support or not. And then they'll decide whether they're going to put you on the ballot or let you even campaign. That's just one tier of it. I had a meeting with a union boss, and I've never seen anybody be so coy about it. He's like, "Oh, we got this rigged." He says, "We don't worry about it." He said, "Let people vote any way we want. And then when we get through with it, we just have our own voting machines in the back room and we just start plugging in the candidate we want until we're done. And then we stack the election." That's the sort of nonsense that we're dealing with right now. It's the open corruption of this whole thing. And you're seeing it. We have literally got to get, I mean, for ourselves, we have to gut this system. I don't even know what else to say. I mean, you guys have voter ID, like you said, and we don't. That's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, I mean, you go to India. You take India, for example. They're not exactly, leading the charge in a lot of areas, but they have voter ID for that population. They manage voter ID. How do you not have voter ID?
Well, and you know why? It's because that's how they do how they rig the system, right? I mean, this is openly it. I mean, what we're at right now, we are at a real crisis in our country in the sense that, well, it's kind of two sides of this. So it's a crisis for the world, but I think internally, and I know you and I've had a lot of discussions around Q, and very critical ones and good ones. I mean, very good discussions around Q. But I think what's really important is that there's no denying that Q as a platform has helped drive the awareness for digging and creating awareness of the matrix of control of information. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. If anything, to me, what it's done is it's woken people up, and I hate to use that word, is so overused, but it's allowed people to understand that they can do their own research, that they can look into something themselves and not take at face value what the media is telling them or what anybody's telling them. There's ways of finding things out now that, you know, that's the next gambit put up by big tech, and we're seeing it tonight. You know, we'll just censor you.
Right.
You know, we're just going to, we're going to flag and censor you. And that's the next step, because now that you have a population of people who, no matter what their political affiliation or what their belief system is, can actually just research on their own. That's why the media is crippled right now. They have to be more flamboyant in their editorials than ever before just to keep an audience. But people aren't buying it. And you see, and it doesn't matter whether they're QAnons or lean that way or lean whatever which way, regular normie people who don't really spend any time doing that, they don't buy any of it anymore. And I talk to regular folks every day. I'm sure you do too. And that doesn't mean that they're some sort of keyboard warrior. And I think we need all those people. Don't get me wrong. You need people who are doing the hard digging, the deep digging. But regular folks aren't buying the narrative anymore. And that's got to scare the hell out of the establishment.
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, this is the one thing we have definitely seen is the fear. And the fear comes so much in so many different ways. You heard that the Pennsylvania state district attorney openly said before the election, Biden's got this. I mean, what nonsense is that? I mean, that's fear one, and trying to intimidate voters is what that is. We've seen across the country, we've seen, as you mentioned earlier, we've seen observers being kicked out of poll places, which the minute you do that, you know, you're talking about somebody trying to rig a fix, right?
Yeah.
Anybody that's afraid to show what they're doing in a time like this that's so critical, they're in on the fix. They want to do something illegal. And that's the one thing very clearly that patriots are so good at, literally so good at, that there is a vigilance and a diligence to dig, dig, dig. And that is something from the 2016 election, which I mentioned early on, you were so integrally involved with me, and we had the Kilroy Project, Kilroy Pack, and we were doing that, and you were doing so much research to support. I mean, you've seen it. This is a huge change in the awareness of people, right?
What I will say is, and this isn't a knock in any way, shape, or form. I feel like there's always a reaction, and there's a reaction to a situation or an event. And I would have hoped that on a night like tonight, there would have been some preemptive, maybe not gotcha moments, but some preemptive from these deep diggers, from the people who are, you know, best at the keyboard warfare. Maybe they could have steered some of this away from it being stolen. Maybe they could have preempted some of it from getting as, you know, thin as it is getting right now. Again, not a knock. It's nobody's perfect, but my hope would have been that at least a few of them would have busted something open or dropped a hammer or a surprise or a, but I always feel like it's a reaction after. It's always a reaction in hindsight, you know, and that isn't going to win the fight. That isn't a winning mentality in this battle, and that's what we're in, is a battle. And that's my biggest problem with it all in that aspect of it. And you and I've talked about this ad nauseum. I get the spirit, and I understand the love of country and the patriot. I get that. Believe me, I would do anything for either of our countries, and I think you know that better than anyone.
Yes, I do.
There's nothing I wouldn't do. But people have to go to that next level, and if their ability is digging for information at a keyword, then it's got to be redoubled. It's got to be an effort that's not just about spreading the latest gossip or, you know, guess what, everybody? We are all aware that there's a deep state. The media doesn't hide that anymore. Politicians don't hide that anymore. We all know that. So it's putting that in your blogs and on the Reddits and everywhere else. Guess what? That we're 2 years past that now. We have to get into the actual trenches and bust the ambush open and put the ambush on the other guy. Instead of reacting to the ambush every time, we need to control that. And I don't see that yet. I still don't see that yet.
So let's put that in some tangible things, because for you and I, when we talk about that, that means something. We've both been in the physical fight, and we've done a lot in the digital space. But articulate that more into actual actions. What does that do?
Let's look at Philadelphia. Let's take Philadelphia, for example. You're looking at people being poll watchers, being turned away from polling stations. I've watched the videos. You know, I've seen the same as everybody else that's listening. I've watched with my jaw on the floor that these people are being turned away, and people, the folks in control of these polling stations are saying literally like, oh, those rules aren't even worth following, so get out of here. If we had this cyber army at our disposal, how are they not aware of this beforehand? How are they not digging into this beforehand? How is it now they're all going to get on there angrily and type things angrily and be really good at being angry and saying, I told you they were going to do this. I told you they would. I don't care what I told you. I care that you could have known before and done something about it. And by doing something about it, I mean expose these people beforehand.
I think
everybody's great at digging things, dig out who these people are, validate who these people are, verify who these people are that are going to be doing this. Yeah. Put that on them. The left is fantastic at doing to us, and they don't have a cyber army. They don't have anything like what we have.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Chuck. I think this is something really is a good moment to reflect on all patriots is, we have got to turn the tide from, and we're still somewhat on a defensive footing, and we're very much sitting in, like, let's protect, kind of like the Praetorian Guard kind of said, let's protect POTUS, let's protect General Flynn. Nothing wrong with that. That's great.
Yeah.
But that next level of fight, like you're saying, is now it's time to take it out. And we've got the numbers now. There's no question. I mean, not only do we have the numbers here, globally, it's incredible. We're talking millions of digital soldiers, right? And so just like you're saying, is like, where's that digging to go? Okay, let's take this and then here's start exposing people. Let's send some ground troopers in to get pictures ahead of time. Let's dig into the backgrounds ahead of time, right? And we're really aware. And that right now, Patriots, I'm going to say this, in the coming days, before we jump to that crazy level, which we nobody really wants yet, we have to master this. And I'm really meaning this. We have got to master the offensive role of the digital army. And the offensive role isn't just hammering comments of the electronic displays of a blue check account or whatever. It's literally now doing what the boards, which is 8kun and previously 8chan, were doing. Everybody's got to dig. And I mean, dig and expose and share, because we have to expose to the world how bad this is. We got to remember that everything is being captured. Everything. There is nothing you do online that isn't being observed, monitored, captured, filed, whatever. That is just the world we live in. And as I said this the other day in a program, it's a question of who runs that control? Who runs that station? We're well beyond Orwellian 1984. We are in a place where you can't pick your nose in private and not have somebody know. And I'm very serious about that, because everything is monitored in one way or another. But do you want white hats and good patriots controlling that information to where it is always, the use of it is restricted to just national security? Or do you want these crazies over here? And these crazies want to use it to control our lives down to the nth degree and really truly enslave us.
So thanks for tuning in. Remember, if you like the channel, please hit subscribe, like the episode, and share it on your favorite social media forum. The Bards FM podcast can be found on Podbean at www.bards.fm. You can also find the Bards FM podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, and BitChute by entering Bards FM in the search bar on the respective apps or websites. Also, remember to check out Bards of War Fighting is Everything documentary at bardsofwarfilm.com. That's bardsofwarfilm.com. Buying a copy helps support these podcasts and future film projects. And if you would like to support the channel with a donation link is below. All podcasts are written and produced by Scott Kesterson. Opinions expressed are the individual's only. Interpretations of events are the sole rights and opinions of the podcast presenter and guests. Bards FM, Bards of War, Fighting is Everything, and Expedition Cafe are trademarks of Scott Kesterson and Expedition Cafe. All work is owned and copyrighted by Scott Kesterson and Expedition Cafe. Thank you again. You have been listening to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, out for now.